Lowe's knows that your deadlines don't change, even when your job does. But with Lowe's Buy Online, Pick Up in Store, we'll help you adjust on the fly. And when you absolutely can't leave the project, we can deliver to your job site as soon as same day. Lowe's knows pros. We help you save. Valid on eligible in-stock orders and select zip codes placed by 2 p.m. for same-day delivery by 8 p.m. Subject to driver availability. Fees vary based on purchase. More terms apply. See Lowe's.com/same-day-delivery for details.
Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolokimab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
Off the ball. Rugby.
Why has the line-out improved so much?
Codders. Just one word. Alex Codling. he's an asset for us. So, yeah.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the ball. Daily.
Oh, it is good to be back. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to League of Ireland Late Night for another Friday night. It is Cameron Hill back in the hot seat this week. My thanks to Nathan Murphy for deputising in my absence a couple of weeks ago. Of course, we had an international break last weekend, but we are back on the airways this evening and quite a few talking points, it turns out, from tonight's action in the SSE Electricity Leagues, both the first and Premier Divisions tonight. It is, of course, the clocks going forward tomorrow night. So I am joined, thankfully, by as grand as a stretch in the evening, Shane Keegan. Good evening, Shane.
How are you keeping, Cameron? Plenty of talking points, as you say, that's for sure.
Yeah, quite a few. We might get into them in a second. We will be joined by as glorious as an hour less in bed, Johnny Ward, once he jumps on. But we will start with what has happened in the League of Ireland this evening and our commentary game with Shamrock Rovers against Derry City. And despite the two red cards in the first half, it was probably the dullest of the games tonight. Nil all was how it finished in Tallaght Stadium. Plenty of other talking points around the grounds. St. Patrick top, they overcame a Podge Amond early goal to beat Waterford 2-1 at the RSC. Galway United remain unbeaten. They won 2-0 at home, away to Bohemians, piling the pressure on manager Alan Reynolds there. So I'm sure we'd be keen to hear from Bohemians fans this evening. Cork City and Drogheda played out a really entertaining 1-1 draw at Turner's Cross, and the other game saw defending champions Shelburne beat Sligo Rovers 2-1. In the first division, Dundalk were comfortable 3-0 winners over Wexford. Bray Wanderers beat Cove Ramblers by 2-1. Finn Harps, managerless, got a 1-0 win at Athlone Town, and UCD make the long trek up from Kerry with all 3 points. They were 1-0 winners at Mount Hawk Park. Johnny Ward has just joined the line. Hello, Johnny. I think he did anyway.
Hello.
There we are.
Hello. Yeah, sorry. I just realized there I was in the report for a few tonight and I didn't actually press send. So I was slightly delayed there. Would you forgive me coming out with Daily Mount on the night that's in this? For being a little bit kind of sloppy, which Galway United certainly weren't. And I have to think of Shane Keegan throughout this match. Shane said, was it last season? It doesn't matter what United 11 starts, they all know their job, and it makes no difference to the way they play. And like I've never seen a game, I can't remember a game where so many bodies were on the line making blocks. Rob Slevin like made so many blocks in the first half, and the headlines will be about Moses Dyer, who's 11 caps for New Zealand, and you know what he did tonight. But it was actually hard for somebody who knows Alan Reynolds and Stephen O'Donnell, like, to see them walk down the tunnel to a barrage of pretty much abuse and booze and anger from the Bulls fans going off. And five defeats, Cameron, there's no dressing that up out of, you know, from very, very bad start for Bulls. They were quite good at times tonight, but one team knows how to win. One team hasn't won a game at home in nearly a year.
Yeah, we get into the elements of the various different games around the grounds this evening with all of you. And if you do want to voice your opinion, if you have something you want to talk about from tonight's games, maybe you have opinions on a few of the refereeing decisions from this evening's fixtures, well, all you have to do at this stage is hit that bottom left-hand corner. There's a mic button in the bottom. You can request to speak and we will get to you as soon as possible, as John has done. Good evening, John. How are you?
Good evening, lads. I'm not too bad, thanks. How are you getting on?
Not too bad. So this was the televised game on Virgin. I assume that you were watching Cork City against Drogheda. And I think probably you'd be happy with the points rather than feeling it's 2 points lost, would you?
That would be an accurate assessment, yeah. You know, would have absolutely loved to have got to 3 points, but in fairness, you know, Drogheda had a very, very good spell there, particularly in the first kind of 20 minutes of the first half. They honestly could have scored two or three there. Now, we had a very good chance as well through Rory Keating in the first minute, but after that, it was all them. I thought the second half was a bit more level, and therefore, like, a draw probably is a fair result. So, yeah, no, not, you know, considering they were top of the league and stuff, you can't complain too much.
Yeah, Shane, you were watching this game, I believe. So, like, it just seemed like Drogheda really, like, if they had come away without getting at least a goal, they'd have been very, very disappointed. Even a point seems like just a little bit less, considering how on top of they were in the early parts of that game at Turner's Cross, and certainly in the second half.
Yeah, look, Cameron, John's a loyal listener. He comes on here most weeks, so he doesn't. It's rare I have to disagree with listeners, but I don't know, John. A draw being a fair result. I'm not sure if I'm going to go with you on that one. Look, I thought Drogheda were well ahead over the course of the game. You even have Tommy Martin quoting the you don't get XG stats all that much on live TV, I suppose, or League of Ireland wise anyway. So I was delighted when I heard him coming out with it, because obviously I am a geek who's into all of that kind of stuff. And I think he quoted about three and a half goals Drogheda, 1.5 goals Cork City. And when you factor in that a penalty alone is worth 0.75, it means Cork really didn't create very, very much at all. Whereas Galway, Drogheda, I mean, my God. Now listen, fair play to the keeper. He's pulled off one or two great saves, John. Obviously that one late on from he is a super stop with his leg. It really was. And I mean, I don't know what sort of conversation we're gonna have about the disallowed goal. there's part of me looking at it, John and Cameron, there's part of me looking at it going, by the absolute letter of the law, it's the right call. And yet you're saying that, and then at the same time you're going, how the hell can he disallow it though? How can you disallow it? Like, Cork have just completely messed up and got away on virtue of the fact that the Drogheda player's toenail is touching the white line. But no, listen, I was interested to see the sideline dynamic. Obviously, the two lads have a great relationship, so they have. But it was, you could see Kev at the final whistle out with the officials. I mean, he was very, very unhappy. I can understand where he's coming from on it as well, to be honest, because, you know, he's been disallowed a goal by just the absolute tightest of margins. I felt the penalty was reasonably generous as well, if I'm honest. And I think, all things considered, I think Cork got away with one tonight. That said, John, I will caveat it by saying I did think he had one or two very, very good performances. I think the last night you were on, I said that I've been seriously impressed with that Benny Kuto. I think I was asking you, is he always that good? I thought he was absolutely excellent again tonight. I really did. And the little fella, Nelson, is an absolute box of tricks there as well. So, like, you know, it wasn't all doom and gloom. You know, there was a couple of good points made on the footage afterwards that, you know, there was a couple of balls went across the box there, the Kudo one that was fizzed across, and one or two more that you just, if Sean Maguire's on the pitch, you expect that they're ending up in the back of the net. You missed Dyke Steele, you missed Bulger, you were down a good few. So it's definitely a good point, but I wouldn't necessarily say a deserved point.
Yeah, perhaps not, John.
It's fair, yeah.
It's probably where we expected Cork to be after, what, six or seven games in. I know you've had the postponed game against Shamrock Rovers, which are coming up and down the track in a couple of weeks. But like four games without a win, I think we're starting to see really where Bows are. And that probably takes just a bit of the gloss off the win against Bohemians. But is that about where you feel you are at this stage? That maybe you're looking a couple of weeks ahead and saying, God, I can't wait to face like a Rovers sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah. Like, Era, it's, you know, like, I suppose the rate we're going, the rate of points we're going, it should be enough to keep us up. Do you know what I mean? Now that's touch wood there. Like, but, it's, you know, it's going just about where you'd want it to be so far, but probably haven't overly exceeded expectations either, to be fair. Do you know, but I think the goal always was, to be honest with you, I think the goal always was just to stay up for this first season particularly. So, like, you know, we'll just have to see how it goes, won't we? Do you know what I mean? Yeah, it's a mixed bag, but yeah.
What was the crowd like tonight, lads?
Well,
I didn't hear attendance.
Yeah, I'd say there was, honestly, by the looks of it, from watching the game on TV, I'd say there was a little bit less due to the fact that, you know, the game was on Virgin Media. Like, I'd say there, but on that note, there was still a great crowd there, don't get me wrong, I'd say. But, and I could be, you know, someone can come up by all means and correct me if they want, but I have a feeling it was maybe, you know what I mean?
That's the Dublin bus announcement there behind Johnny, for those wondering. Listen, John, we'll let you go, but we'll talk to you again next week. It's the Tale of Two Cities again.
So, if you don't mind, lads, and I'm so sorry for the shameless plug, but just LOI talk there. That's the account is LOI_talk. We're on the road to 1K. So anybody interested in high quality League of Ireland coverage, I'd highly recommend a follow. So sorry for the shameless plug, lads.
And not at all. Come on, everybody. Get out there. Get them over the line. Nice one, John. We'll talk to you next week. We will go from... we've got Aaron Deering waiting, so I feel like it's going to be a bit of a Crisis Club double shot here. Because John Marty is standing by, and I think John is a Bows fan, if I remember correctly. Right, John?
No, Dundalk, sir.
Dundalk, apologies. What? So crisis at all. Not crisis on the pitch, anyway.
Well, yeah, crisis maybe a few months ago. Now, well, look, I don't know what our books look like, so hard for me to say. But definitely, the part of the club's operations that I am privy to seem to be going quite well. To use sort of the modern football Twitter parlance, I would say that Kieran Kilduff is cooking. Well, yeah, it's been an outstanding start to the season. I mean, really needs to be appreciated that, you know, he had to pick up a club, you know, on its knees following relegation with quite a few players under contract, managed to convince, say, Daryl Horgan and so on to actually stay, and convince some of the younger talented players to stay, signed a lot of players, and has assembled an amazing team. I mean, it's almost certainly a better team than the team we had in the Premier Division last season. You know, that's the sort of level we're at. Sean Keel, for instance, how the hell have we got him in the First Division? That's a Premier Division player at the very least. How did nobody sign? I don't know, but I'm not going to complain. It's a miracle we have such a good player on our team, and it's a good team all around. Good coaching. Kieran Kilduff, his tactical vision, I'm a big fan. He wants us to play on the front foot, play attacking football. Very exciting to watch. And only in the last couple of weeks have we really seen his vision bear fruit. I mean, it was 3-0 tonight, but, you know, it could have, in other circumstances, it could have been 10. We created so many chances, you know. If someone wants to interject him.
No, sorry, Shane. It probably stands to reason that if you have an incredible coach and a couple of players like the likes of Daryl Horgan and Kyo, as John mentioned, turns out if they stick around, you've the guts of a really good team there.
I couldn't agree more with John, to be honest with you. You know, there will be some people maybe who'll think, you know, Dundalk are a big club going down. Sure, obviously, you know, it was obvious they'd bounce straight back up. I don't believe that was the case by any stretch. I didn't think it was going to be a foregone conclusion that they would come straight back at all. I think the appointment was going to be a really, really massively key one at this juncture for the club. You know, the wrong appointment could have seen the club wallow in the first division for a prolonged period of time, really, to be honest with you. It was a massive amount of negativity around the club when they went down. Massive amount of negativity around the, I suppose, ownership, finances, all of those kinds of things. And, you know, I think I said from early on that I thought it was an absolute no-brainer that their first port of call had to be Kieran Kilduff. And they did the right thing. It might have been the obvious thing, but it was sometimes the obvious thing doesn't always happen. And they did the right thing. They went and got him. He's come in and, listen, he's hardly put a foot wrong to date, has he? He's, you know, like John says, the business they've done has been absolutely excellent in terms of who they've held on to, in terms of their recruits. Dean Ebby, really clever signing. Leo Gaxa, they seem to have bred new life back into him again. Really talented player. I thought, you know, at the beginning of last season and the previous season, but kind of struggled a bit over the course of 2024. He's now firing again. A Durbin, I think, really clever move bringing him in. Look, they've been foot perfect, and Killer's been absolutely foot perfect in terms of his management. And, you know, it's very, very early to say it, but look, reality is, Cam, it does seem a foregone conclusion. I can't see how they, you know, it's hard to see how the wheels come off on this one. Everton just looks to be running so smoothly. They'll have the odd hiccup here and there, but I mean, you'd want to be mad, really, if you're backing against them, winning that division and coming straight back up, which, as I say, was not something I would have said was a guarantee, but is already looking like it is.
Well, I think if anything was to cause the wheels to fall off, it might be the finances. But I think I get the impression that John Temple knows what he's doing. I don't think he's spending recklessly or anything like that. I mean, I'm definitely of the view that it was never a foregone conclusion that we'd be able to go back up, mainly for the reason that, you know, despite our, you know, resources in comparison to other clubs in the division, you know, we have to penny pinch to pay off old debts. We weren't just going to be able to flex financial muscles and just financially overpower the rest of the league. We had to be sort of clever in the way that we allocated our available funds. So I think, you know,
That's where a strong start for me, John, was so important, because, you know, you talk about the ownership and them knowing what they're doing. I would be inclined to say that I still reckon they might have taken a bit of a gamble. In other words, they needed good crowds to justify the financial outlay. Now, if you get off to a poor start, your crowds will nosedip very, very quickly, and then it doesn't take a whole lot to happen, and the next thing you are in financial difficulty very, very quickly. But what's happened is the exact opposite. You've got off to a brilliant start. As we say, players doing brilliantly, manager doing brilliantly, got off to a great start. I think it was in around 2,000 there tonight. If you're getting 2,000 on a regular basis in the first division, I mean, that's fantastic going, really, to be honest.
I mean, I think that's more or less the attendances that Cork were pulling last year. So 2,000 is a respectable figure. I mean, I figured that a first season down in the first division, our attendances wouldn't suffer too much because the attendances would suffer a little bit, but, you know, there's a core fan base who's going to be that. I think the fear was if we weren't able to bounce back and we were languishing in the first division for many years, then over time the attendances would probably start falling. And that was the concern from my perspective.
Yeah, and just as well, John, just to agree with John on Young Kyo, he really does look a super talent, doesn't he? He did catch the eye last season as well. I agree with you. I was surprised that a Premier Division side didn't come in and try and swipe him. But anybody who hasn't seen his goal tonight, get a look at his goal tonight. It's an absolute cracker, so it is. But he's a super talent.
I think also Harry Groom is worthy of a lot of plaudits. He's a real presence in midfield. He also did decently well last week against Longford, filling in at centre-back. But yeah, in midfield, he's an absolute presence. He completely just mops up any loose balls and really helps us with the game we want to play because, I mean, I suppose the way I think about it, we're not so much one of those teams that just passes the ball around short. Like, we're not a Pep team. Mm. We want to go forward as fast as possible. You know, we play attacking, but we want to go forward fast. And obviously, there's a risk associated with that. You can more easily lose the ball if you're playing riskier passes. So what's important is we have a structure in place that if the ball is lost, we can win it back quickly. Right. And Harry Groom is essential to that in the way that he functions. So
he'll have been delighted with that. If he played well tonight, John, he'll have been delighted with that. Because I'll be honest with you, not just agree with you for the sake of it, but I never felt he was fully appreciated against Wexford. We came up against Wexford in the playoffs when I was there, and I remember Team Sheet came in and he was on the bench, and I remember thinking, Jesus, I'm happy out with that. I'm delighted with that because I've always rated him very, very high, and I think he was a really shrewd signing. Really shrewd signing, Wicked.
Listen, John, we'll start popping the champagne now. Well done on another win.
Oh, well, I'm not going to... Okay, well, I mean, like, if we win the next two, maybe. But keep it on ice for maybe for a fortnight. I don't know.
Okay, we'll keep it for you. We'll put the request behind the bar, but we won't count your chickens just yet. Thanks for jumping on. Apologies again for misbranding you as a Bows fan.
Oh, it's okay. I mean, I don't brand myself on my page as, you know, it's not quite obvious who I support if you don't know me personally. So I'm not offended.
Yeah, no, once you're up, there'll be a lot of retweeting the... we're going back up posts, I'm sure. But until then, John, best of luck, all right?
Okay, excellent. Thanks for listening to my review.
They are lining up at the edge of the box there. We will get to Aaron in just a second. Aaron, if you can just hold on the line, because Gavin Smith is waiting. I believe he is a Bows fan.
That's correct.
What has happened tonight?
First of all, the defending tonight was horrendous for Bows, but fair play to Galway. They put the bodies on the line and they defended excellently, but the goals Bows gave away tonight were just poor defending, especially the second goal where Cornwall literally let the ball bounce and it went in. And also on Aluena's, there is a lot of mixed answers. Fans want to mean, but I'm sorry, it's time for him to go. If we lose this logo next week, the club is finished. Because there's no coming back from this.
Yeah.
It was what Gavin says about like the senior players, Cornwall's back in the team tonight. And the first goal, like Moses Dyer, he had to leap. Jeez, he must have left about a meter in the air, gets the ball ahead of Cornwall, and that was bad. But the second goal, like he was very important for both goals. He kind of used his muscle, headed the first one on, the second one got in the way of Flores. Cornwall was quite like he was just pushed aside by him. You don't expect Cornwall, you know, his physicality has been used as a marketing employee for Bowers who trying to sell the jerseys, which is fair enough. But he actually couldn't deal with that entire tonight, his physicality. And as Gavin said, it was strange to see that. And like Ross Tierney was off colour, I thought, basically start finish. And Bowers did try. It wasn't lack of effort, but you're expecting the senior players to be better than that. And what Gavin said tonight, I know a lot of Bowers fans will agree, there's a lot of negativity and real, real chorus of anger as Alvarez went off five speaks already. Also.
Yeah, it's not looking good at all. Gavin, thanks so much for sharing there. We'll talk to you again very soon, I'm sure.
Thank you.
We'd love to hear from Bows fans this evening. I'm afraid the crisis club chat continues here because Aaron Deering is on the line. I'm sure you were watching proceedings down the showgrounds tonight, Aaron. Good evening.
Hi, lads.
Yeah, I mean, was it just a case of... It sounded like it was a bit of a disaster at the first half and you never really recovered.
Yeah, well, the first 25 minutes, yeah, she's like, Shells are very good, but also the first goal is just a pure gift between Van Hatten and Conor Walsh in goals. Like, the back pass is just so poor. And then, personally, I think Conor Walsh could have made a bit more of an effort to get out and put off Martin, but... yeah, sure. Like, I think Shells would have been delighted with that start, obviously. Second goal, McElroy was very good for Shells. Obviously, struck it really well and recovered after initially having probably a better opportunity. But then we actually grew into the game, probably deserved a goal. Second half, up until the red, it was actually funny from Duff and Shelburne. They just completely set back in their own half, like no one up front basically at all. It was really unusual. Like McElroy, who was having a really good game in the first half, was, you know, non-existent because he was so deep in the second half. Kind of took a risk. You know, because if they conceded, like the match was only going one way after that. But yeah, the red cards, like... Some people will say it's harsh, but when you see the replay, for me anyways, he catches them so high. I know the lads in commentary initially thought it was harsh as well. And then when they seen the replay, like, it's just not really great. But yeah, just biggest problem is conceding goals. Like, that's another two tonight. Like, we've conceded in every game and like, you're just not going to win games or even get pick up points if you just keep conceding goals like we are.
Yeah, Shane, I mean, we can talk about the Sligo Rovers piece because it is an interesting, like, it's been a recurring theme, just the goals are so avoidable from a Rovers point of view, but that's Shells' first win in five, I believe, and you would think that, judging from Aaron's description of it, that it feels like quite a defending champion's performance and that you get your goals and then you'd sit back, you concede one inevitably, but... you know, putting in that kind of performance will really stand to them after the international break, and hopefully they can go and push on now.
Yeah, look, all I saw from this game was kind of the key events, really, Cameron. I suppose, you know, to go back to that goal, I would agree with Aaron. Yeah, I think the two lads are both to blame. I wouldn't say they're equally to blame. I felt it was probably two-thirds Van Hatten's fault. And maybe one-third Conor Walsh's fault. I did see Van Hatten's reaction seemed to be he really berated Walsh, which I felt was a little bit trying to find a scapegoat, to be honest. He's the one who plays the back pass blind. And I mean, you just can't do stuff like that. I mean, it's, you know, it's hard enough to get points in this division without gifting goals to the opposition. It really is. On the sending off, Aaron, like, agreed. When you watch it back in slow motion, he does catch him high. I don't think there was intent there. I think,
oh no, 100%. Like, he's going for the shot, like, in
the leg kind of, there was an awkwardness about it. I think he almost loses his balance and that the second leg comes up almost inadvertently. So look, I get the fact that on the pure kind of basis of where he caught him, you can argue for the red, but I would always look at intent. Like, did the player mean to do harm? And I don't think he did in that sense. So I did feel it was, and it would have been interesting to see, could he have gone and got something? I don't know. Did you feel at that point, was there momentum behind you? If you'd kept the 11 on the field, do you think an equaliser was coming, or what was your own take on it?
Yeah, well, I thought, obviously, down the left, between Reece Hutchinson and Will Fitzgerald, they were creating a lot of chances, getting crosses into the box. And Conor Malley was starting to get bored a lot more. He was unlucky with one or two shots that just kind of went wide. But then, obviously, the red card comes and John Russell decides to take off Reece Hutchinson to kind of change things around and put Lomboto up front and stuff. So that kind of killed the momentum on the left hand side because Will Fitzgerald had to go left back and kind of put an end to that. But
what was the general atmosphere and vibe in the ground after the final whistle went, Reese, or Aaron? Sorry, is it still, you know, is there still kind of
I wasn't at the game myself tonight. I was watching this from home, but it's kind of nearly frustration at the same time because they probably played well enough there tonight to get a point, but like it goes back to your point there, Shane. You just cannot be conceding the goals like we're conceding. Like for that first goal, it's so hard to get points this year with, you know, the Premier Division. There's no any easy games at all. So you're basically giving goals away, and like you're giving yourself a mountain to climb. Like even there with the start, 11 minutes in, you're 2-0 down. Like you're needing two goals just to even get a point out of a game. Like it's very hard. And like for next week, like I know, obviously, you don't know what will happen with Bowes. Reynolds could be gone after tonight. You never know. But like we're down serious bodies for next week. Like obviously Kavanagh with the red. Doyle Hayes has got a 3-match ban. So he's another 2 to go. And then I seen John Mahan and Hadiki have both picked up the 5 yellows. So they'll be suspended as well. Jeez. So like you're down 4 massive players there that are in your starting 11. So
Rennie in, yeah. Is like saying Aaron.
Yeah, honest to God.
Listen, we'll let you go. Thanks so much for jumping on and fronting up again this week. And hopefully we'll talk to you again next week in perhaps a more sunnier climes.
Perfect, lads. Mind yourselves.
Cheers. Thanks a mil.
That becomes a hell of a game next week now, because like I think John Russell's people expect with the budget they have, they've lost quite a few players. You expect them to, they're doing fine, really. They've been very competitive, Bowes now, if they can't beat Sligo at the moment, I mean, you kind of wonder where is this going to start? Where is this going to kick start for them? And that game takes on a huge, huge, huge meaning now. And Galway United against Rovers without Ed McGuinty as well next week.
I know. It's all starting to really kick on. Lots of talking points, lots of different dramatic storylines, straight fresh from the international break. It's like it never left. It's great.
Tired of listening to the same old playlists or podcasts over and over? Maybe it's time to mix things up. Try something new. Hit explore. Avoid the blah and the boring before you even put your headphones in. Add some fun in the mix. Say yabba dabba doo to a bowl of Pebble cereal and enjoy by the spoonful. Fruity and cocoa Pebble cereal. Less blah, more yabba dabba doo. Head to your nearest grocery store to buy Pebble cereal today. The Flintstones and all related characters and elements. Copyright and trademark Hanna-Barbera.
Lowe's knows that your business is built on speed and trust. That's why the Lowe's Pro Desk is here to get you what you need the moment you need it. We'll help you plan your project, calculate your materials, and pivot when your job takes an unexpected turn. And with our pro-only checkout and dedicated pro parking, you have what you need to tackle your job and be back on the job in no time. Just visit us at the Pro Desk. Lowe's knows pros. We help. You save.
Crafted for speed, tested and worn by Bukayo Saka. The New Balance Furon V8 refines the ultra-lightweight, precision, strike-focused design for an even greater sense of speed. A new speed control stud is designed to support control during sudden stops, sharp pivots, and moves used by the fastest players on the pitch, like Saka himself. Experience engineered minimalism crafted to support explosive movement and the sharpest of touches. Learn more and purchase a Furon at newbalance.com/Saka.
Psoriatic arthritis symptoms can be unpredictable.
I had joint pain and I couldn't move like I used to.
I needed relief.
I got Cosentyx.
It helped me move better.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for people 2 years of age and older with active psoriatic arthritis. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your rheumatologist about Cosentyx.
Alan Kenny is next up. We'll talk to some of the Bray supporters in a few minutes. But Alan, you have the floor. I believe you're a Bohemians fan just by the profile picture, the bio and whatever else in your profile. So give us your thoughts.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Can hear you perfectly there, mate.
Yeah, great. Yeah, very disappointing tonight. We just don't seem to be laying the glove on teams, really. Very disappointing, very predictable game tonight. I kind of thought it was going to go the way it went. Galway are, in fairness to Galway, they're a really good side. They're a big physical team. They scrap for everything. And if they get ahead in the match, and even if they go behind in the match, they'll fight and they get back into a game. But I thought we started very well. But I just thought really what was good in the first half was the kind of the movement, the 1-2s from some of our midfielders, particularly sort of Flores. They were playing it in quick into the centre forward, Colin Whelan, and they were running in to get on the end of it. And then the second half, when Galway got ahead midway through the first half, I actually didn't see the goal. It was just probably against the run of play, but a typical Bows gave away an easy goal. I thought the second half, the old habits crept in, the real bad habits. Like, Galway are a big team. There are a lot of big players in there, and they just, crosses into the box is just bread and butter for Galway, because they're all big players, and we just aimlessly lumped it in for most of the second half. And there must have been 20 crosses went in, and everyone was dealt with.
On that as well, like, so Galway United played three at the back, and they play like so two wing backs, and I'd say it was the guts of 100 defensive blocks tonight. Rob Slevin had about 50. It was incredible, block after block after block, and it looks kind of last gasp in that. But as you say, like, Bows were just, it was real, like, put the ball into the box, and by contrast, if Galway United do that, you know, we expect them to score, which they did the first goal, and Hickey forced a great save from Talbot as well, when he should have scored. But complete contrast in terms of what you're expecting from cross into the box.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, we don't have the big guys that are going to convert from a high ball to the back post. But I mean, even if you did against some of the Galway players, I don't think you're going to get anything out of it. But there was a passages of play there, Johnny, where Bows are, and I saw it against Galway last year. They're so predictable. They play it across the pitch and back. And all Galway are doing is just shifting across, and it's,
yeah,
they're not playing through the lines, they're not playing it into front men, and you want your front men receiving it facing the goal, and the front men have their back to the goal, and they're just marked, and it's very, Bows couldn't have scored for another, like, this is every match of Bows, they don't know how to create chances, and it's so predictable. And every team in the league is a good team, and you know, there's just no, there doesn't seem to be any kind of game plan there for utilising really good players in that team. And I just don't see any of that team improving, any of the players individually improving. I think we're going to lose players like Keane Bourne at Galway, and like Danny Grant at Rovers, and they're going to kick on at those clubs. And our guys, we've really good players, and I don't know why, but they're not improving, and they're good players, and there doesn't seem to be a game plan there at all, because I tell you, every other team has a game plan. But
they regress.
They started the season, like, so Morhan was very good in the game at the Aviva Stadium, and Colin Whelan was to come in, and it looked like, you know, obviously some of the key players coming back, Buckley's coming back,
You know, Cornwall's coming back. Talbot's probably coming back into himself. And you're like, yeah, Bowes aren't a million miles off. But you just, the body language of the players and the confidence of Ross Tierney was way off it. Cornwall, these are the key players you need. Like, I thought he was quite poor for both goals. And yeah, you're just like, I don't know. I actually do feel for the men who came to mind because I'd say they were scratching their heads going off tonight.
It's very frustrating to look at them in terms of they give away easy goals. Like, they're not doing the basics with defending. They're not meeting headers in the box. They're not getting goals. They've conceded about three or four goals in the last couple of weeks by players just not being goal side. Like, that's basic defending. So there's just a bit of malaise there, really, in the team. And I think to sort it out, you need to sort out the defence, because every other team has a good, solid defence. And we're giving away goals too easy. Whatever.
What would you think, Shane, if you were... Yeah, what would you think, Shane, if you were Rennie or Stevie tonight? What's your thought process?
Listen, I just can't wrap my head around it, Johnny, to be honest with you. I just, you know, you've got two quality guys in charge. You've got a quality group of players. These aren't the results they should be seeing. There's no obvious answer. There's no obvious answer. Even, you know, Alan seems to be struggling to put his finger on what it is. But, like, if we're saying that the body language is poor at this stage, have they given up the ghost? I don't know. I mean, what happens next, Alan? I should have asked, were you watching it on TV or were you there?
I was at the game, yeah. Okay. I'm really floundering going into games, lads. I mean, I keep going, and I really hope they turn it around. But it's just hard. It's just hard going in week after week into Daly Mount and being taunted at, enjoyed by, you know, opposition fans, because, you know, we're just rolling over too easy.
Alan, can I ask you the hypothetical? So if the board decided to make a change, have you or have the fan base or have you had any talk? Is there any sort of, if such and such was over us, we'd be a lot better? You know, is there any talk as to, you know, it's all well and good, say, you know, get rid of the manager, but tell me who comes in and does a better job?
Good question. I suppose everyone has an opinion on that. I'm not sure sacking the manager is the answer either, to be honest with you. But I mean, results have to improve soon. If it was to pick somebody, I'd pick somebody from outside the league, a Richard Dunn or somebody like that. I just feel it's gone very stale there at the minute. And it's a hard one. I don't know really who we could get. But it's a hypothetical. I don't like talking about it while we still have a manager, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's crazy, Shane, but like, and maybe both fans might think I'm daft. I think you have to put faith in Alan Reynolds and Stephen O'Donnell turning this around. They have good players there. Like, they have very, very good players. They should have probably used the score tonight. That would have been 1-1. And sure, I'm going to cut it, but, and I know they haven't won a home game in the rest of the year now, but I don't believe in changing the manager. And they might rightly say, no, they've been given enough time, they've been given the budget to sign players, they've signed their own players, but I do feel they'll be well capable of turning around if they're given time after tonight. I'm just not sure how much time they're going to get.
You'd hope they are given time, because as we all know, it's such a precarious state when a manager loses his job, particularly in this league. And the issues that Bowes have had, I was going to say, those are issues that were there last season, and it feels like they're more long-standing. There's a few players that they are still having to kind of bring back up to speed. Like, Moussay hasn't really kicked on at all since he joined it at the start of the season. And even
I actually thought he did okay tonight when he came on. Now, I thought he looked... Now, I spoke to a well-known Bowes fan afterwards who didn't agree with me, but I thought he really looked like he wanted to be about the ball, and I wouldn't be giving up on him at all.
Right. There's loads to chat about from a Bowes perspective, Alan, and probably a lot more depending on how the next few days play out and whether Nelson and Stephen O'Donnell are there. And obviously next week is a huge game. It's become a bit of a relegation six-pointer early on in the season. But as we alluded to when we were talking to Aaron, it feels like if Bowes don't manage a win against Sligo, that they'll be in real trouble. But we do have to leave it there, I'm afraid. Thank you so much.
joining.
Thanks very much, guys.
Cheers. Best of luck and have a good weekend. Lots to get through. Shane Kennedy is going to make sure the Shells get their flowers later on, but we're going to chat to someone. I think this must be the first time we're chatting to him this season, because Seagull Chat is on the line to tell us about the weird and wonderful world of being a Bray Wanderers supporter. 5-0 defeat last week, Seagull, ended up in Finn Harps losing his job, and then you beat second place Cove Ramblers tonight. It's business as usual down at the Carlisle.
Absolutely, makes absolutely no sense. And I was sat tonight by a woman who got some curry for her son, and she spilt the entire thing on her lap, and she just watched the whole match. She just let her son poke his chips in her lap for the whole thing. So that kind of summed it up. It's first of all, after last week, a big part of me expected to be calling in this week to tell you guys, basically you could copy paste what Alan just said there, except push Bray in for Bows, because I mean last week and indeed the week before against Dundalk were some foul performances. The 5-0 against Finn Harps actually flattered us. I mean, if it wasn't for Jimmy Corcoran, it probably would have been 7. So to come tonight against no offense, Shane, but to come against probably the best Cove Ramblers side in the last decade, and actually I come away with the win is incredible. And the manner we did it as well, that last minute penalty. Reese Knight, who's very young, came on and won the penalty. You've no idea what to expect, because I mean, but the improvement over the past week has been incredible. I mean, we had the match on Monday against Athlone in the Leinster Senior Cup, and we played a heavily rotated squad, and it was our best performance so far. So we brought in Benjamin Fagdemi from that, and he was incredible in defence. He went off injured, of course, but absolutely incredible. But even the players from the weeks before came on and were much, much better. So no, I mean, it makes absolutely no sense, but it's entertaining all the while. And we go to UCD on Monday, hopefully to put it to make us 2 wins in the week for the weekend. Because I mean, we've the youngest on average age in the entire, in both divisions this season. And so you really don't know whether the players are going to be outclassed or if they're going to put up an unbelievable performance tonight. I feel sorry for Billy O'Neill, who scored an incredible free kick tonight. He rattled the bar and it went over the line, but as the linesman put up his flag to signal that it was in, Kinsella Bishop came in and tipped it over the line. So there was no one really knew at the time whether he scored or Kinsella Bishop scored. Even the Bray Twitter account said that Kinsella Bishop scored, but it was an incredible free kick from someone who's, I think he's still 17.
Yeah, so a couple of things. Firstly, fully, like for me, Cameron, obviously still keeping a very strong eye in the first division. For me, Cove Ramblers to win this game was literally my banker of the weekend. Like I would not have predicted this result. I couldn't agree more with Seagull. This is an outstanding Cove Ramblers side. It's essentially basically almost the Cork, just the Cork City team that went up last year, with one or two really talented Waterford lads thrown in as well. And then you just look at how much things were floundering at Bray. I just thought this was, nailed on. And I don't know how they've managed to turn around the performance so much. I will jump to the conclusion that I am only too delighted to jump to, which is that they finally threw Billy O'Neill in from the start. I've had an eye on Billy O'Neill for about 2 or 3 years now, and I'll be honest, Cameron, I've had an eye on him for 2 reasons. One, because I saw him play football, and I was seriously impressed. I think he's a superb talent. And secondly, I've also seen him hurl. I've told Johnny this before. 2 years ago, Billy O'Neill was the
Jesus Christ, another one.
the best 15-year-old hurler I saw in 2023 was Billy O'Neill. I saw most hurlers in the country in that age group in 2023. This kid was phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal hurler. And I wondered how things would go, because if there's not a proper career path for him in football, there needs to be a real proper career path for him, either into the Premier Division in the League of Ireland pretty soon, or else across the water or something like that. Because if that doesn't transpire, you can be sure the Dubs are going to come back at him hard and strong. But I think he's a brilliant footballer. The free kick is outstanding. It's absolutely outstanding. I mean, there's top corner and there's top corner. This was a brilliant strike. I'm surprised it took them so long for him to throw him into the team. I'd have him in there as one of my first names on the team sheet going forward.
Well, yes, one of the things that's been quite, most people have been complaining about with Bray, is that we've been playing a sort of a game of musical chairs with our front three. Well, we've never had the same front three, starting from three, for any game, and for most games we've completely rotated it by the end of the game. So it's, and you know, players who will start on the right wing will end up on the left wing, and you know, so it's, there's absolutely no consistency. But from tonight, it has to be Billy O'Neill one side, Ferrisai, who we could also talk about for a long time, on the other side, and then front striker, who normally would be Callum Costello, but he was suspended tonight. But Kinsella Bishop filled in very well. But no, Billy O'Neill and Richard Ferrisai on both sides are excellent. You know, both very young, but also incredible, incredible talents.
Is Richard Justin's brother, Shane?
Yep.
Very good.
Yeah, so we
that's a hell of a pedigree, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah, we somehow poached him from being on trial in Lazio. So what convinced him to come down here? I don't know, but we've got some good negotiators in the transfer department. It must be.
We traded eagles for seagulls. That's pretty good going. Seagull, thank you so much for jumping on. The weird and wonderful world of Bray never ceases to amaze us, and we'll talk to you very soon.
Certainly, lads. Cheers.
Lots of callers just to rattle before we finish out tonight. Shane Kennedy is up next. Good evening, Shane. How are things?
Oh, good, yeah.
Yeah, so you sound like you're just heading up the road again after another 3 points.
Oh, yeah, you don't need to ask me. Was I watching on the telly?
No. We were talking to Aaron about it earlier. That's like very much kind of champion's performance, where you get the business done early and sit back.
First half we thundered up fairly all right. First half we were started on the front foot. John Martin was justified his selection. Not too sure whether it was a yellow card based by Boydie was dropped, but John Martin was outstanding. And Boydie suspended now next week. He got his fifth yellow. But I don't think he would have started anyways, but I wouldn't have played him. John Martin was man of the match. So. Yeah, a gift of a goal, you've seen it back. I wouldn't be too harsh on Conor Walsh. The ball was very, the pitch was very heavy and probably didn't help the back pass. But I got decent after that.
Was Meebo playing, Jay?
Meebo?
Yeah.
He's going through a bit of a, it is what it is, he's going through a bad patch at the minute. I don't think the pitches are helping him. He's kind of waiting for things to happen for him. The ball, he's waiting for it to fall and he wants to spin off, but now the pitches aren't helping him, I'm going to hope, because I don't want to talk negative about anyone because we're champions, so.
But John Martin is, John Martin's a hell of a player to be able to bring in as well,
Honestly, he came in with no reputation because he smashed up Brian McManus and he's been around the league for a while, but I love him. He's got everything, he works hard, he holds the ball up, wins headers in the air, he's very, very underrated, he doesn't have that star name, and he didn't come from, I don't know, Scott Dundalk weren't the big club, but at the time they weren't, he was outstanding. McEnroy obviously is getting all the plaudits, and we said tonight before the game that he's supposed to kick us on. He had to bring goals, assists, and his goal tonight was a good finish, great finish.
He's a lovely left foot, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, the ball got stuck behind him tonight. I think there was a decent build-up. Got stuck behind him. He was clean trail when again the pitch. Chuck just pulled it back. He whipped it in corners. Brad Powell and we'd have been 2-0 up and gone on to draw the game. But Reece Hutchinson was excellent and so was Fitzgerald. Conor Manley was decent. Sligo were good on the ball. Obviously, they were like watching us the last few weeks. They were just prone to an error, I suppose. But we had no Sean Gannon or Paddy Barrett tonight, and Mark Hoyle slotted in right centre half. We went back to the five, and it's suiting us so much better. There's an easy 5-yard pass, although like the pitch tonight was terrible, but like there's an easy 5-yard pass to play and knock the ball around, and not easier than the 4-4-2. Evan Cafferty again was very good. He got triple pass once or twice, but you expect that. So Will Fitzgerald's going to do that.
Would you like to see them keep that shape for Friday night's game?
Oh, 100%, yeah.
Massive one next Friday night now.
Ah, it's a cracker, isn't it? I know Galway are there beside us, but it's set up to be. You could see Pat's maybe having a bit more of the ball, and we'll sit back. But we have no wingers or like Will Jarvis type players to sit back. Meepo's not, he's fast, but he's not a dribbler. So I don't know if sitting back is suitable to us at the minute.
Have we any word on the Virgin game next weekend? Surely it has to be that, is it?
Yeah, it's that. Yeah, it's Pat's. Yeah, we're on 4 out of the next 6. It's Pat's and us, yeah.
If you don't make an appearance on the TV screen, Shane, I don't know what you're up to.
Oh, I'm sure. Actually, my young play has a match next week against Belvo, so it'll get over for the second half, I think.
Do they play
Ah, they have some coming up, so they're having an extra match. It's only 8 under 8, so we'll have to go to that. I'll be sprinting over in the M or the whatever through town. We changed as well. Ali Q played, and again, the gap was not afraid to make changes. He whipped them off, brought Harry Wood on, and then. He put McEnroy on the right, then noticed JJ was gone to bits, he was tired and hadn't played, and then he brought John O'Sullivan on, and John O'Sullivan was outstanding when he came on. He hasn't played much football, but he, even before the red card, we were kind of not getting back on top, but we were nullifying their threat down the left. John O'Sullivan was brilliant when he came on.
Do you have an assistant like Knight Rider there kind of talking to you, or?
Dwayne Doyle's in the car beside me. Yeah, he's reminding me.
Happy days. Another one of the greats. Another one of the greats.
Yeah, he's in the car. He's like, the changes. I was like, Doyle, I say hello to him. How are you?
A long way back from Sligo.
Yeah. It's good. Good trip.
But thanks for...
Great crowd there as well, though. Have to say, great crowd. We brought a good crowd, and the referee, the red card. Sorry, that before I go. Personally, I haven't seen it back yet. No, I didn't think it was red. The ball's bouncing around, and Coyler goes down because he's trying to clear it. And I thought Kane just tried to block. The ball's bouncing. So when you say you go in high, I think the ball's in the air. I don't know if you have seen it back. I just fight a few yards away, different kind of angle to the ref. But I didn't think it was. But if he catches him, boy, fair enough.
Yeah.
Mark Hoyle, very clever, knows what he's doing. Though he shouts, goes down screaming, as you would. I think he was going down screaming to get the foul, just to relieve the pressure rather than trying to get him sent off. I didn't think it was a red card.
Yeah, you'd hope so. Listen, Shane, it's good of you to chat with us. And
cheers, lads. Good to hear the Bowers fan tonight as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a tale of two halves there, I'm afraid. But at least half of the table. But we'll look forward to next week. That's going to be an absolute cracker.
Ah, yeah, Belda.
That's
part of 500 tickets we have, though, which I look.
Yeah.
Part of you.
Neutralise your advantage as much as possible. But listen, we'll chat to you
exactly.
Again.
Cheers. Thanks, lads. Great show. Thanks.
Stephen Doyle was at our commentary game this evening,
Shamrock Rovers in Derry, and I'm sure he's just out of the press briefing there, so we will hear what boat managers thought of that game. I certainly know what I made of it, but more on that anon. Tommy Shields, and I assume most of the Galway United supporters bus are on the line there. Good evening, Tommy.
Can you hear me?
We'll get your thoughts on tonight. We win up in Dublin.
Unbelievable win with a huge crowd from Galway up there again, but we're still not getting the respect we deserve. We brought 400 or 500 to that game tonight, and we played balls off the park. We defended brilliantly, and what two strikes! The second strike from Moses Dwyer is as good as you'll see anywhere in the world.
Wow! Yeah, and like, here's your chance now. Make sure you get the respect you deserve.
Yeah, well, we will, because we're playing Rovers on next Friday night, and you're talking about Pats and Shelburne. Kerryland will be hopping.
Mm.
You're talking about over 5,000 people at the game next Friday night.
That is going to be absolutely magic, Tommy.
Yeah. Johnny was there tonight. The goalkeeper, we were missing six players tonight, and we've been missing six players for the best part of 5 weeks. And there's no mention at all of Keane Byrne, McCormack, Brendan Clark, Cullum Horgan, and there's two more as well that are out.
Just to the defensive display, lads, just to put it into talking about getting blocks in and forcing guys to shoot under pressure. Bohemians had 31 shots tonight. Only four of them hit the target. So 27 shots were either blocked or enough pressure was applied to fellas to make them miss the target altogether.
It was incredible shit. Like, I swear to God, the amount of blocks Rob Slevin got in, and then like it was Bruder in the second half, and then it was Greg Cunningham, and it was Borden, it was like Hickey. The fullbacks were, the wingbacks were excellent. Like, I it was outstanding, and it wasn't like last ditch stuff. It was kind of control defending, putting bodies in the way, playing the percentages, and really amazing stuff from a defense perspective. I actually met Stephen McGuinness on the bus. Coming out of the game, and he was saying he loved the defending for Galway United tonight.
Yeah, and listen, the goal, as Tommy says, I don't know if you've seen it yet, Cameron. My God, what a goal. It's an outstanding strike.
It's absolutely fabulous. I'm sure we will get Tommy on very soon again, because whatever about this weekend, next weekend, there'll be two absolutely massive blockbuster games in the Premier Division. Let's go to Stephen Doyle, because the other team in that draw is Shamrock Rovers, and they played out. Can you put it politely, Steve-O?
No, I can't, Cameron. It was one of the worst games of football I've ever witnessed.
Jeez, I wasn't expecting that, Steve-O.
It was just, you know, something. There was very few chances created by either side. I have to say, I was disappointed with Derry City in the space of time that they had the extra man. There was 18 minutes before Danny Mullen got sent off. And I thought in those 18 minutes, Derry City just looked, you know, when you've got a man up, you've got to turn the screw. You've got to put the opposition under pressure. They're, you know, a little bit. Look, Shamrock Rovers looked better prepared to be playing with 10 men than Derry City looked prepared to be playing with a man up. And I think that was the difference there. And once then Danny Mullen was sent off, it was all square and all even. The two sides were better in the second half. I thought Derry City even were better in the second half, but I'm still struggling to see what Derry City are under Tiernan Lynch.
Very much so.
What they're trying to do. You know, they're playing short passes out from the back. They're playing the odd long ball, but poor quality long balls. And the one thing I always found, the biggest threat I always found with Derry City under Rory Higgins was that duo of Ben Doherty and Mikey Duffy down that left-hand side. And they just don't seem to be using that partnership enough, I think. It's one of their best attacking threats, those two players down the left-hand side. You saw Paul McMullen coming back into the starting team tonight. I think he's a really good, really tricky winger. Very hard for defences to handle, but he just couldn't seem to get on the ball, get those runs at the two left-sided defenders, Corey O'Sullivan and Josh Honahan for Rovers. But Rovers themselves, Stephen Bradley said after the game...
Did we see a title challenger tonight, Steve? Did we see a title challenger in Tala tonight?
Shamrock Rovers will challenge for the title, definitely. I think they will.
Yeah, they will.
I would say that they're probably a little bit, look, I know everybody was saying the international break came at a good time for them because they're able to get players fit, and that's all well and good. But I think they would have liked to go straight into a game after beating, like, that was a really good result to beat Tralee United away from home. I think they would have liked to play straight away. But I think that couple of weeks break might have just produced that flat performance that they've got. He said, look, Lee Grace is back fit. He said that, well, Danny Mandroyo is fit, but they're just taking their time bringing him back. And look, I think Rovers are going to be okay. They're still, what, just 5 points off the top. It is really early days. Bradley said, look, April's a really important month, of course, because there's so many games. And this is, I suppose, this is where we'll see the men being separated from the boys in regards to a title challenge. But I just before Tommy Shields came on, I'm not sure, was that Tommy Shields or Ollie Horgan? I wasn't too sure. With somebody else, but I do think that's going to be a brilliant game. Like, Johnny, you'll know Galway United have a dreadful home record against Shamrock Rovers over the last number of years, but I think they can really put it up to them. I said on the podcast with the lads a couple of weeks, this Moses Dyer fella, Jesus, he, like, the one thing about Moses Dyer, he seems to be as good without the ball as he is with the ball. Some of the runs
he's also makes. One of the best names ever. Moses has come to save Galway United.
Oh, I tell you, well, listen. I just think that the runs he makes off those breaking balls, those second balls, can be so crucial. And I think if he can put, they need to put Matt Healy under pressure. That's what I'm waiting to see some team doing, because Matt Healy is the one that makes a tick for Rovers. As we all know, he's always in space, he's always looking for the ball, and he always finds a teammate with a pass. I think if Galway United can figure out, and I'm sure they will, Ollie Horgan will be teaming up with John Caulfield, if they can put him under pressure when he's on the ball, That's how you can hurt Shamrock Rovers.
I've barely seen a player play against Galway United this season who's really dictated the game or really imposed himself the game. They're that hard to play against.
Yeah, 100%. So look, I think that's a really brilliant guy. It's a shame it's not going to be on TV, Rovers against Galway United. But look, Derry City, I'm struggling with Derry City. I just wonder, you know, Gareth McLean has said on the podcast before, it's you know, Tiernan Lynch was managing Larne, the best squad of players in the league. He's now at a club that has a brilliant squad of players, maybe not the best squad of players in the league, and he's trying to find his way through. And I just wonder as well, like, I can remember speaking to a lot of people around the Brandywell after the last game of the season last year, and the amount of pessimism from Derry City supporters going into that cup final, I couldn't believe it, you know, considering the talent that they had in their squad. And ultimately, they did lose that cup final. They lost the league title from a brilliant position. I just wonder, is there a little bit of a hangover there, both from supporters and from players who were involved in that squad, that they need to try and lift that?
Well, I'm wondering, Shane, this would be, because we'll have to wrap up very soon, unfortunately, but, like, I'm not making a like-for-like comparison here, but I remember very early last season, there was a Dundalk fan who came on and was complaining about the fact that none of their players that they'd fielded, I think in the second week, they were all foreign players who hadn't really had much League of Ireland experience. And when you look at the players that Derry have brought in, the likes of Shane Ferguson, Carl Winchester, these big signings that we were supposed to expect quite a bit from, like, they don't have that experience in the League of Ireland. So as much as, like, Tiernan Lynch's tactical plan is still yet to be deciphered, to be honest, is part of it that there are players here who are just not used to the style or the culture that is in League of Ireland football. And maybe that's going to be something that's going to take a lot of time to tease out for Derry.
I'll be honest, I've kind of said all along, I would disagree with the transfer strategy that they went with, to be honest, Cameron, definitely. You know, there's a massive level of investment to get those kinds of names in. And I just think if you used that same money to go after a different profile of a player, the best young talent in the league, or again, you know, some young talent that you'd maybe bring home from across the water or things like that, that's the route I thought the club would go, rather than effectively doubling down on a strategy that didn't really work for them last year. And they've just, you know, talk about history repeating itself. Like, you've thrown out a few of the names there. By and large, tonight's lineup, I mean, I'm looking at here Doherty, Connolly, McMullen, Boyce, Adam O'Reilly, Mullen, Duffy. Like, it is, you know, it was mainly the same old in terms of last year, the majority of the names that started tonight. But, look, it's just such a different job, as Steve-O has outlined there, such a different job for Tiernan. It really, really is. And I did feel that it could be a bit of a struggle for them this year, and it's proven to be that way. And I don't know, I wouldn't hold massive hope of it improving dramatically either at the moment. It's hard to see where the light at the end of the tunnel is on it.
Shane, just to say there as well, look, as a coach yourself, like Adam O'Reilly, I think he's a super player. He's really energetic. He gets around the pitch. But look, he's not a defensive midfielder. And just getting prepped for the match tonight, I'm looking through his Premier Division stats. He's got 120 appearances tonight now in the Premier Division. He's got 4 goals and 4 assists. Like, surely from a player that is a midfielder, likes to get involved with attacks, you need a bit more from him.
I would, yeah, definitely, definitely. I mean, you'd be looking for more end product. As you say, he can be eye-catching. And look, I suppose the same kind of critique was thrown at Patrick McElhenney previously, I suppose. Again, somebody who would have been held in very high esteem, yet if you just went on the raw stats of goals and assists, it probably wasn't quite enough. And even Mike Duffy got a bit of that as well, but he's kind of been the one that has weighed in with a bit more. I assume Hooban, I see no sign of Hooban. He's obviously out with an injury at the moment, is he, Steve-O?
Yeah, himself and Diallo were ruled out with injuries there before tonight.
And yet, with him out, there's still no start for Boyce, seems strange.
I have to say, like, Boyce was interesting. I was reading his interview before the game, and he was saying, look, I'm the type of player, he said, it happened to me over at Ross County. You know, I went for a spell without goals, and then I'd hit one goal, and then I'd go on a run, maybe 15 goals in the next whatever amount of games. So I think he's kind of feels that he needs that goal. Now, he came off the bench. He was one of their better performers in the second half, but more of a link man. You know, he was getting involved in midfield. You know, he's bringing Ben Doherty, Mikey Duffy, and other players into the game. I thought he looked pretty good, but I suppose ultimately they weren't creating the chances for him in the box, and that's what he's there to do, is score goals.
The sending off, Steve-O, by the way, the two sending offs, I suppose the first one is a no-brainer. I'm not really sure what McGinty is at. An absolute brain freeze moment. Jeez, I thought Mullen's sending off was harsh.
Yeah, look, I don't know. There was a few, shall we say, the travelling media kind of felt that because McGinty went off, they were all kind of saying, oh, any of those players on yellow cards might be a bit fearful that the ref might try and level things up, and, you know, subconsciously might try and level it up. Yeah. And lo and behold, that happened. The one thing I'd say about McGinty as well, lads, is that there was an incident actually early in the game where he kind of came flying out off his line, and it was almost like a carbon copy of the move that he made to give away the penalty to draw it in the previous game. And, you know, I don't know what a goalkeeping coach can do with Ed McGinty like that. He's still just 25. He's young enough by goalkeeper standards, but he just needs to calm down in those situations, show a bit more of a cooler, calmer head.
Just before I let you go on, Steve, Jack Byrne got 45 tonight. How did he do, or how did he look?
Yeah, I thought he played himself into it. There was a couple of frustrating moments for him. He took down one of the Derry players to give away a free kick, and he just looked a bit frustrated. Maybe a player who isn't happy with the minutes that he's getting or his fitness, I'm not too sure. But he definitely played his way into the game. I thought he got a bit better as it went on. I think he's just one of those lads. He needs more minutes, and I'm sure we'll see a lot more from Jack Byrne as the season goes on.
All right, Steve-O, thank you so much for jumping on after a busy day for yourself. And we'll hopefully catch up with you again next week.
Cheers, lads.
We are absolutely bang out of time, I'm afraid. Thank you so much. That absolutely flew. So many great callers tonight. It saved us from talking about how was your weekend or anything with the lads. So it's great to have such great interest. And we look forward to chatting you again next week. I'll finish by going through what to expect over the next 7 days. So one game in the men's first division tomorrow, and surprise, surprise, it's Longford Town. They're at home to Treaty United for a 7:30 kickoff at Bishopsgate. Full round of fixtures in the women's Premier Division. We've Treaty against Cork, Waterford against DLR Waves, Shelburne against Piemont United is probably the tie of the round tomorrow. Galway United take on Shamrock Rovers. It's Wexford against Sligo and Athlone Town against Bohemians. Next week, it's a tale of two cities, Derry hosting Cork. We've got Galway United versus Shamrock Rovers game to look forward to as well. And St. Pants versus Shell should be another cracker down in Inchicore. One thinks back to that game towards the end of last season and how brilliant that was. That's our live commentary game here on Off the Ball on News Talk. We'll be with you from 7 o'clock on Friday evening. Thank you so much, Shane.
Great stuff, Cameron.
And Johnny, very best of luck.
Yeah, sorry, Cameron, just to finish up. I think it is fair to say it's the first time ever in anyone's life, certainly mine, we will discuss on our podcast, himself and Dan next week, our Galway United title challengers.
And now that he knows that Moses Dyer line, I'm sure that'll be littered throughout League of Ireland Central and Off the Ball content for the next, I would say, eternity. So, great. Wonderful. I cannot wait.
Yeah. Rubber over my headline.
God, it is.
Yeah, I wish you'd finished that thought. But anyway, we'll we'll see what he has to say next week. Thank you so much, everybody. Hope you have a fantastic weekend. Don't forget the clocks go forward next week, so you have one less hour to wait for League of Ireland late night. Back again next Friday. We'll talk to you then. Take it easy.
Off the Ball Daily.
Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, evolocumab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.